I am back from the most amazing trip to the East Coast, New York City, Washington, D.C., Newark, New Jersey, kind of, that you could ever imagine. And so I was on hiatus last week, but I am back. Thank you so much for having me in your headphones. Today, it is April the 17th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Let's get it. Welcome back to the show. It's so nice to have you all here. As always, this is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Speaking of patrons, so one of my favorite patrons of the show dropped me a note not long ago, and I'm not sure if she wants me to say her name or not, so I'll hold off on that. But I got this lovely note, and she had said, hey, basically, you haven't done one of those shows where you just kind of talk about what's going on in your life, basically. And, you know, I'm just going to say Christina, sent me that nice note, and it's true. And the thing is, like, I don't know who's into that. I don't know if you like hearing those little anecdotes that sometimes I'll babble on about over time, but I promise you, I told her I would do one here coming up soon. Because life has been heavy lately, and it seems like spring kind of always brings on this. Now, spring is pretty much my favorite time of the year. The kids are involved in multiple sports, and I love going and watching coaching and watching Zoe play soccer, and I love watching Audrey play softball. I've gotten to do a little bit of the helping out with the team, and it's really great to, you know, interact with these two age groups, the first graders and the fifth graders. Their personalities couldn't be more different between the groups of kids, but it's always such a great time. And yet with that, it seems like a lot just happens, and maybe I'll get more into that in the coming weeks. But for starters, I wanted to thank the patrons of the show. If you go to patreon.com/the Mind and Fitness Podcast, there's almost two dozen of you that help out this show every single week, month, year. Some of you are it's crazy. You've been around since 2018 supporting the show. So thank you so much to all of you that have been around that long and have been around even for not that long. It's always nice having you here. Now, I did this show in episode 198. It was October 28th, 2021, and it was the Sarno's 12 Daily Reminders along with some commentary on those. Now, if you're not familiar, in Sarno's books, he had this checklist, essentially, that was Sarno's 12 Daily Reminders. And the idea is that as you're getting familiarized with this work and sort of this alternative approach to medicine, that these are the 12 things that you need to be able to keep in mind all the time. Let me see if I can actually find one. I'll just read the 12 off for you, and then you can listen to this episode. Oh, gosh, where is it? Oh, hold on. I might have found a PDF of it. Okay. Here's the 12 daily reminders, and then you can go back and you can listen to this episode. So the pain is due to TMS, not a structural abnormality. The direct reason for the pain is mild oxygen deprivation. TMS is a harmless condition caused by my repressed emotions. The principal emotion of is my repressed anger. TMS exists only to distract my attention from the emotions. Since my body is basically normal, there is nothing to fear. Therefore, physical activity is not dangerous, and I must resume all normal physical activity. I won't be concerned or intimidated by the pain. I will shift my attention from pain to the emotional issues. I intend to be in control and not my subconscious mind, and I must think psychological at all times, not physical. So, in this episode, you're going to hear me talk more about that, and I'm excited for you to listen. And this is something that it's 4 years old. Who knows what I was saying or thinking at the time, but it's fun for me, too, to go back sometimes and listen to these. So, let's take a listen. Episode 198, October 28th, 2021. Thanks for being here. I'm going to take on this topic today, but I thought maybe as a intro to this. So hopefully I'm going to send him a message when I'm done recording this, and hopefully he'll be okay with it. Otherwise, I have to come back and edit it out. But Michael Galinsky had made the documentary All the Rage that came out about a little under four years ago about Dr. Sarno. And the trailer was something that really caught my eye, and I watched it and listened to it. Gosh, it feels like hundreds of times at the end of 2017 when I was starting to understand this stuff. But let me play the intro to that, and then we'll get into the 12 daily reminders. If you haven't seen this film, I certainly recommend go to YouTube and just watch the trailer and kind of see what it's about. But you can see it's on demand on Vimeo. Sorry, my dog is going nuts. Amazon deliveries or kids in the cul-de-sac or something like that. But hopefully you can't hear much of her behind me. But let's just let me lay out and let's listen to this. It's 2 minutes and 8 seconds, and it's just the trailer for the Sarno documentary.
Have you ever been stuck? I spent a month on the floor, overwhelmed with stress.
So when it finally went completely out and I was screaming on the floor in pain, I called Dr. Sarno.
The pain is generated in us when we put ourselves under pressure to be perfect and good.
I was so bad, personally, during a radio show, I had to lay down on the floor. It was such a great barometer of what was going on inside of me.
What do you mean psychological? I feel it. You think I'm making this pain up in my arm?
I must have spent 15 years of my life in this position.
Your body's telling you take a break and let some other person be awesome for a little while.
There's such a strong cultural mindset that the only legitimate way of treating disease is by giving drugs.
You know, my dad was hit by a car and he was killed.
Feelings, that's what we're talking about here.
I've been creating pain so as not to deal with things.
I had diarrhea for 6 months and it turns out I was just scared shitless.
That is one angry foot.
I was working 4 jobs. That was too much. It was too much.
And that fury will evoke physical symptomatology as a defense against the rage.
Rather than burning down the Capitol, they are turning that anger against themselves.
Right? Exactly.
Why isn't this being looked at?
They say enlightenment isn't in the attaining of truth, it's the removing of lies.
Talk about life and death. And when I say we, I mean the human race.
I believe in finding a way out of this, but it's going to be a long road.
Many people say you saved my life.
All of this because of one simple idea, the fact that the mind and the body are intimately connected. That's the whole story.
This was fun being in your documentary.
So good. It's not just because I'm such a mark for Larry David, but for Howard Stern, and just overall, this the documentary is amazing. And I remember I when it first came out, and I went and looked at the IMDb ratings on it, and it's not that the film was getting crushed by people that were reviewing it, but kind of the sense was that it was too much about the person making the documentary, Michael Galinsky, and that is exactly the point. And I think that if you have if you're listening to this podcast for any length of time, you've probably suffered from some kind of a mind-body issue for, could be weeks, months, years, longer than that, decades. And I think that what you would find is that it will speak to you. So I can't endorse the film enough. So let's get going with 12 Daily Reminders. And I did something like this, kind of similar with Ozanich's book, I don't know, 2.5 years ago or something like that, a little more than that, actually, I think. But let's just go through it, and I'll give my 2 cents, and we'll see. Hopefully this doesn't suck, and we'll take it from there. So Dr. Sarno's 12 Daily Reminders. So number one, the pain is due to TMS, not to a structural abnormality. I think this is completely true, and it always makes me think of gray hair of the spine, that if you were to take imaging of people that are asymptomatic, have no symptoms of anything, let's just say 35-year-old men who have been reasonably athletic, that's me, that I'm speaking of because I can speak on it. If you took one that had chronic back pain and one that didn't have chronic back pain or chronic anything, my suspicion is that their imaging would look very, very similar outside of, again, cancer, broken bones, tumors, things like that. But chronic conditions such as back pain or hernia disc or whatever, those two 35-year-old men would both have those things, that there'd be very little deviation between what it would look like imaging-wise. So something to consider. Number two, direct reason for the pain is mild oxygen deprivation. Now, this has been disputed, especially over the last few years, and I think that maybe this has evolved a little bit. The thing that I like about a lot of the Sarno stuff is that it's very much a KISS model, keep it simple, stupid, which is what I use in sales. That's what I really like to talk about. But Sarno would talk about mild oxygen deprivation. He would go on about why this were the case. And now people like Howard Schubiner and Alan Gordon and people that are talking more in this pain reprocessing therapy might dispute this. To me, it's sort of irrelevant either way. We could say it's oxygen debt. We could say that it's neuroplastic. We could say that it's neural pathways, whatever it is really that we want. But the main thing that I pull out of this is really that the pain is not, it's something to smirk at, essentially, is how I see it. TMS is a harmless condition caused by my repressed emotions. I had this thought about 3 or 4 years ago. I made this, if you haven't seen this, I'll try my best to describe it. But there's a meme where a guy is sitting at an empty table. And I think he's drinking like a cup of coffee or something. But on the front, it says, and you could fill in with whatever you want. You could say, the Seahawks are terrible at football. Change my mind. The whole idea is change my mind. So I had posted that chronic pain was due to repressed emotions. Change my mind. And I got destroyed in the comment section for posting. How could I post such a thing? Except when my pain's real, right? That was kind of the response to it. But really, I think people are maybe thinking about that in a different way than what is intended. So for instance, you have the thought of traditional trauma, which I for the longest time had thought that trauma had to be your dad beat you to a bloody pulp as a little kid. You witnessed a murder, you witnessed something, you were raped, you were like could be these terrible, terrible things. But repressed emotions could really just be Alan what's his name? The guy who wrote Zero Pain Now. And his name is escaping me at the moment. But his book is great. And one of the things that he talks about in there is basically this concept of TMS or too much stress or whatever you want to say is an acronym is like blowing a little bit of air in a balloon. Like your kid talks back to you, and instead of reacting, you just blow a little bit of air in that balloon. That's the repressing part of it. And repression in a lot of ways is done very much at an unconscious level. It's not something I'm not trying to repress. It just happens. Suppression is different. So TMS is a harmless condition caused by my repressed emotions is absolutely spot on. And to me, it could be a couple of major things or one major thing, or it could be the collection of a lot of things as well. Since the last time that I recorded a podcast, I had my first therapy appointment. And one thing that we had talked about was, adjustment disorder. That was something that he felt describes me very well. There was something that happened, maybe I'll get into it a little bit more in a future episode, but there was something that happened to me in 2006 that really sort of changed my 100% my perspective on things and people and trustworthiness and all that kind of stuff, particularly with women. But then as the months and years rolled on, I may have diminished how traumatic that particular event was. And my therapist, this was something that I think is going to be a focal point that we'll come back to in the sessions with him. And again, maybe I'll get more into this at some point in the future, but it's a cumulative thing. Repressed emotions to me are very much a cumulative thing. That's why it's with the plural repressed emotions, not repressed emotion or repressed event or something like that. The principal emotion in is my repressed anger. I think anger is really at the base of everything. Even if you're sad, I think that anger is really at the base of that, because you're sad because you're feeling angry underneath. Let's just use the simplest of examples. Your boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you, and yes, you're very sad, you shed tears, but you're angry at them and you're angry at the situation. That's as simple as I can put it. Number 5, TMS exists only to distract my attentions from the emotions. Absolutely. You can't sit there and focus on the problems that you have in your life because you're focused on your pain. That's the whole idea. So my kid comes up and talks back to me, or I have a traumatic event happen to me, rather than sitting there and ruminating on it or really experiencing it in my body. Maybe we'll get more to this in a little bit, but really experiencing it. Instead, I can get a backache or a headache or foot pain or shoulder pain or anxiety or whatever the case is, and then I can focus on that thing. So it really is the brain's way of protecting you. Number 6, since my back, or replace it with whatever pain you've got, is basically normal. There is nothing to fear. This goes very much back to the first daily reminder, where, again, if you were to take two 35-year-old males or two of people at the same age for really just about anything beyond babies, they're going to have very similar imagery. So they're going to have arthritic-looking knees, probably. Even if one has symptoms of arthritis and one does not, they may look exactly the same. You could take, say that you have a really, really sore hip, you could probably take a take imaging of the opposing hip, and it's going to look very, very similar, if not the same, yet you only have symptoms on one side. So that'd be really tough to explain. Number seven, therefore, physical activity is not dangerous. I think I show this off more than anything because I am a strength athlete. My thing was back and neck pain largely, yet I lift weights with ferocity almost every day, and I am the strongest that I have ever been at this point in time. So when I had found out about Dr. Sarno, it was a day or two later where I just went full send and full activity and balls to the wall and all that kind of stuff. That was the way that I needed to get over it and needed to get through it. I think that graded exposure, which is a lot of what Dr. Schubiner talks about, and actually what Sarno talked about too, having more of a graded exposure approach. I just wanted my life back, man. I wanted to go back and lift. I wanted to go back and be active. I wanted to go back and do all the things that I had been known to do and had been so happy to do that I had completely thrown away, because I thought that I was going to be broken forever. So number eight, I must resume all normal physical activity. Again, that's what I did. I read the book. Basically, I read the book on a Sunday maybe, and I was back in the gym on Monday. That was how I approached it. I think that inherently has made me, reckless isn't the right word, but not as concerned with getting hurt doing certain things. Riding an electric skateboard all the time, riding a motorcycle in inclement weather or in rough terrain, or even being out. Like one of the dumbest things, perception wise, that you can do on a motorcycle is taking it off road in a remote location where you don't have cell service. Because ultimately, if something happens, you're screwed. And ultimately, that could have happened. But when I had my trip fairly recently where I went to, through Washington, Oregon, and Northern California, I crossed that Oregon California border through a national forest where I did not have any cell service. So surely anything could have happened, but I had enough confidence in myself and my ability and just, you know, being able to do the thing. And if something happens, it happens, and we'll figure it out when we get there. And I think that that approach is really a big way to be able to get over this stuff. Number nine, I will not be concerned or intimidated by the pain. You just heard that. Even very early on, those first few workouts back where I was kind of like, oh my gosh, why does this not hurt the way that it had for so long? I had a level of confidence that it wasn't going to. And I think that that's really pivotal. I will shift my attention from pain to the emotional issues. That was something that I needed to do. I needed to take an inventory. And I did this by list making. So if you can imagine like a piece of paper on one side of the list, on one column, I would have whatever the symptom was. And then on the right side, I would write down what was going on in my life when this symptom had occurred. That was a way for me to really connect the dots at a very unconscious level or subconscious level, to be able to just absorb that knowledge and know that there is correlation, you know, because I would have all these issues of knee tendonitis or various knee issues or elbow issues or shoulder issues that coincided with points in life. They didn't coincide with any sort of a physical event. And I think the easy way out a lot of times for doctors or for physical therapists or even just for people that are athletes in general is to say, this is an overuse injury because I did too many of this thing. But if you really think about it, like athletes in a lot of ways are pushing themselves constantly. I mean, at minimum, probably 6 months a year. And for a lot of us, a lot more than that. I'll take a deload week once every 4 to 6 weeks, but usually it's only for 3 or 4 days where I'm backing off and then I'm back on again. So, I mean, total over time, 48 to 49 weeks a year, I'm very much in the throw of things, and I'm being active and I'm being physical and I'm really pushing my limits and my boundaries. And that was not something that I could do pre-sarno, even when the TMS symptoms got so bad, because I would start breaking down over the course of a few weeks. And now I understand that's not due to overtraining. I understand that that is due to all the things in life that have become a cumulative burden. I intend to be in control, not my subconscious mind. This is a big thing. Are you running the show, or is your mind running the show? It's sort of like, I think there's Seinfeld episodes about this, but is it the voice on your shoulder that is running the show, or is it really you? And I think that this comes with confidence. This comes with practice. But being able to just be the one to, I used to say, if you've ever seen the movie Captain Phillips, where the pirate says, "I'm the captain now," that's what you need to be. You need to be the captain now. And then number 12, I must think psychological at all times, not physical. Let me give you a way to do this. And again, the only way to do this is really through repetition. But say that you get a symptom. Let's say right now, my neck started to hurt. I had a spasm. I can't go to, "Hey, my neck hurts," and grab a foam roller or grab a tennis ball or start doing those kind of things, a stretch or whatever. I have to think about, what was I thinking about in the moments leading up to that? Because that's probably far more the root of what's going on. Or what are some things that are going on in life right now? I've talked about this wild relapse I had a few months ago. Maybe it was, 10 months ago, probably 9 months ago, where I was doing snatch pulls and the lower back completely went. I was on the ground. I couldn't make my legs straight because it hurt so bad. But I had the confidence to say, okay, I'm not going to try and stretch out or foam roll or do any of those things. I'm going to start thinking about life, and I'm going to take a little bit of a break from the stuff that I've been doing, meaning mentally, because I was training the next day. But I, what is it about life right now? And that's really, that's really the crux of all this stuff, is being able to, instead of when you have a symptom of thinking, "Gosh, what did I do? How did I injure this?" Whatever. It really needs to be, what's going on in my life right now. And I think that that's going to be the solution to many of your problems. Okay. We are at 21 minutes. I got to go pick Zoe up. That was really fun though, Barb. I hope that you're listening to this. Send me a DM if you do listen to it, because it was a wonderful suggestion. if you have suggestions on other show topics, you can find this thread by going to Facebook and searching the Mind and Fitness Podcast Deleters of Pain. And you can contribute to the thread or just make requests on things that you want talked about. I'm always looking for new content. What do people actually want to hear and listen to? So this was a lot of fun. So thank you, Barb. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks for episode 200. But we've got another guest next week coming up too. Take care, everybody. Thanks.